some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away
when the sorrows of this life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has grown. I'll fly away.
You're listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church in Hurlock, Maryland. I'm Paul Hacker.
And I'm Dave Talley, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. On our radio program today, we're going to be blessed by a message and testimony from Pastor Sam Sadik. He was born and raised in Egypt and is now reaching out with the love of Christ to the Arabs around us here in this area. You listen now as he shares.
So good evening. My name is Sam Sadik, and originally from the country of Egypt. Grew up in Egypt and came to know the Lord when I was 13 years old from a Coptic background, which is like Catholic here in the United States. They follow the rituals and they go to pray to Mary and the saints. So I was growing up in that environment as a Coptic till the age of 11 when one of our neighbors invited my mother and my two sisters, because my father passed away 3 years before that, and to a Bible-believing church. She went there the first night, and she heard for the first time in her life, in a small church in southern Egypt, there is no icons, no priests, you know, no fancy things. It's only some chairs, you know, very poor building, but the power of the gospel was so wonderful that night, and just my mother, you know, came to know the Lord as Savior and Lord, and she came home with my two sisters rejoicing that she became a new creature in Christ. And I remember that when she said, we're not going to go to the Coptic church anymore, but we go into a new church. I said, why? I said, because we became Christians. And, you know, my mind as a child is like, so she said, no, we accepted the Lord tonight, me and your two sisters, and we go into this new church. I went there for a couple of years, and in the age of 13, I went to a summer camp for the teenagers in southern Egypt, and there I heard the message of the gospel, came to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, grow in faith in southern Egypt, and had that zeal in me to serve the Lord in any capacity. And I wanted to go to a Bible college after the high school, but it didn't work out. My pastor said, you know, if you go to a Bible college after the high school, you're going to be inexperienced, and a lot of preachers, they do that. So I advise you to go to a secular one and examine your call, if God is calling you to the ministry. So I did. Went to Cairo University. The Lord opened many doors to evangelize students in Cairo University for 4 years. After that, the same month that I graduated in May 1993 from Cairo University, I joined a campus ministry for 6 years. I worked at the campus minister in southern Egypt and different places in Egypt and even overseas in Jordan, Cyprus, and Turkey to go and preach the gospel. Till early 1999, I came to the U.S. to go to a seminary, which was my desire when I was 17. But, you know, I went to college when I was 27. I had a master's degree from one of the colleges in Marietta, Ohio, and graduated in 2000. Went to work with the Arabs in northern New Jersey, New York area, Philadelphia. And then about 6 years ago, the Lord called me to be an associate pastor in one of the churches in D.C. And after spending 4 years, the Lord opened another door to have a church planting in Manassas, Virginia, which is about 130 miles from the church here, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. So just to give you some information about the country that I came from, somebody is interested in Egypt and Cleopatra, okay? And it's 80 million people living in Egypt, and the main language is Arabic, and you guys are expert in Arabic. What's this verse say? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Great job. I didn't know that they speak in tongues or read Arabic. But this is, let me read it to you in Arabic. لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بدل ابنه الوحيد لكي لا يهلك كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية. This is the language that I preached, you know, by this morning in our congregation. I know some people, they say, oh, it didn't sound like John 3:16. I didn't feel the, you know, the powerful words of John 3:16. Of course, because if you don't understand the words, it's going to be, you know, hard of it. This language is spoken by Lebanese, Egyptian, Syrian, Saudi Arabian, Jordanian, Algerian, United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Yemen, Morocco, Libya, Somalia, Mauritania, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Tunisia, Sudan, Palestine, and all these countries that I mentioned, about 25 of them, they speak Arabic, and those are the people that I'm working with, actually. So what's the mission? The mission is reaching the Arabic community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can I reach that goal? Very quick, prayer is the power behind everything, that God moves mountains, and I experienced that for safety, for growth, and for people to open their hearts before the truth. And we see that on the field every single day. Church planting, evangelism, we go door to door. We hand them the gospel of John and some conversion stories, a DVD of five languages, Nigerian, Afghani, Turkey, Egyptian, Bible distribution. This on the campuses, that's a huge ministry. We need workers for that. I cannot do every, I'm doing something here and something there. Preaching, of course, and teaching in churches, and using the media, TV, radio, and the internet. I'm a preacher. So let's open our Bible together now. Just a few minutes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And see one of the greatest missionaries and soul winners I ever heard of, as seen after the Lord Jesus Christ and his life in detail. Yeah, and details that we can see in the book of Acts and his epistle is the Apostle Paul. And I love that verse in Proverbs 11:30. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. The wise people are not those bankers and the businessmen and educators and people that they make smart decisions that's going to, you know, benefit them and help them now and many years and being smart and being wise and all these kind of things. But the Bible tells us that the person that's really wise is that person that wins souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because 300 million years from now, what is the only thing that's going to matter at that day? And I picked a big number from a friend of mine. He said, 300 million years from now, what's the one thing that's going to matter? A lot of people say, oh, tell me 20, tell me 50, tell me 100, but 300 million, that's a long way. That's a number like, you know, but you know what? The only thing that's going to matter at that day in eternity is either the soul is in hell or heaven. It's not going to matter what kind of house that I lived in, how much money that I made, what kind of car I drove, all these kind of beautiful things that we use it for now and for this life. But it's the only thing that's going to matter and the only thing that's going to be affected is either the soul is in hell or heaven. So that's why, you know, who that wins souls is wise, because he's making that decision to invest in people so they can come to know the Lord, and in eternity you will see that effect on them. So I have seven motivation very fast from the Second Corinthians, from that greatest missionary ever lived. And the first one of them, we can find it in verse 9. We say, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent will be accepted of him. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, do you want to know my motivation, why I'm doing what I'm doing now? Why I go after souls, why I go after church planting, why I preach the gospel, why I'm not afraid for my life, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So the Apostle Paul said, do you want to know my compulsion, my obligation, why I'm doing that? I'm going to tell you in verse 9, that's wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And the word accepted of him, he doesn't mean that we'll be accepted before God for salvation if we labor for souls, if we go out and share the gospel with the lost people. Now, it's not the acceptance of soul or the acceptance of the soul for salvation. He's talking here about pleasing God. The word accepted of him is to be pleasing to God. And no matter who we will be pleased, actually, if we displease God, no matter how many people that we will be displeasing, because the only thing that's going to matter, I want to be pleasing to God. I want to endeavor that work with the Lord to bring souls and to bring those chaffs to the house and those people, the harvest is white. And it's just a wonderful thing that if you have that heart and you pray for souls, as Pastor said, you don't have to be trained. You don't have to be expert in this kind of things. You say, you know, go and tell. If I experience Christ as the only way, why I don't talk to somebody in the coffee shop or somebody in the mall or somebody that I pass by? Like today, before I came to the church, about 30 minutes, I stopped by Panera Bread in, I don't know what's the name of the road, but maybe Route 50. It's a Panera Bread, just for a few minutes to check something on my laptop. And I did ask the guy, is Dover Road coming this way or that way? Because I was not sure that if I pass it. And he said, you know, you make a left on the light and you keep going, you'll see Dover Road. So, oh, yeah, thank you so much. Here's your first million. And I got $2 million tracks. It's green. It looks like a real one. I have some of them. I will show you. It's a very nice track that you use in public places, in coffee shops, in malls. When you go and purchase your stuff, it's very friendly. Then they, you know, the traditional gospel tract has the name of the church in the back, one of the churches. They printed those. We print those for like $300 for 10,000. You can customize it, and you can reach the community with it. And I said, oh, here's your first $1 million. I said, the guy was laughing. He said, real? Is that for me? He said, yeah. But here's the $1 million question. It's in the back. And say, so, you know, I got his attention for a second to think about his eternity. Say, are you good enough to go to heaven? That's the $1 million question in the back. And say, here's the $1 million question in the back. It's a wonderful tool. It's not the best thing, but at least something that you struck the conversation with him. And I said, here's another one for the guy, the other waitress, the other guy that I'm not going to see him. Say, can you please give it to him? He said, sure, yes. Yeah. So in a few seconds, you can ask a question. You can purchase something from McDonald's. You know, you can go somewhere or shopping center, and you buy this, and you can leave a tip. You can leave it with the generous tip in the restaurant. It's just a small thing to reach, you know, the people and make them moody, said. If you can get somebody to think about their eternity for a few seconds, there is a huge possibility that those people will be saved. But we think that people, they heard the message, they know it. You know what the gospel track is going to do? There's many, many stories. I can tell you from here till tomorrow about great things happen in different parts of the country. When I took those $1 million tracks in small towns in West Virginia and Ohio, mission conferences, just a wonderful way. And I'm going to give the pastor the website if he wants to do that. So my compulsion is just I want to please God. But here's the second motivation that Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 5:10. So, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And he said, the second motivation, I want to please God, and I want to make God happy, and I want to obey God. But also, I'm looking for my compensation. I'm looking for that day that I'm going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not the great white judgment throne that the unsaved people will stand before. The judgment seat of Christ, every Christian will be standing before the pima. The word in the Greek means the pima. It's like a race platform where people, they receive the rewards or be a lot of regrets at that or be disgraced. You know, but that platform, that when we come and we will be played a big TV program, this is your life. It's so scary when I heard that. It's, you know, I had that booklet in Arabic many, many years ago, This Is Your Life. And people like you say, wow, so my one day that's my life will be shown in a video before people and before the judgment seat of Christ. I will play all these kind of things that I regret that I did it, and opportunities and sins and all these kind of things. It's a time of rewarding more than judgment, because there is no judgment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But Paul was saying here, the motivation is not wrong to work for compensation. So one day I will stand before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life, you know, program will be played, and I want to invest for that day, and it will be a day of rewarding, not a day of judgment. And if you read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about those materials that go through the fires, you know, the day will be examined by fire. Those materials like hay, wood, and stubble, or precious stone, gold, silver, and all these three materials of gold and silver and precious stone will go through the fire. They already been through the fire, and they already been refined, so it's not going to burn. But those wood, the stubble, and hay will go for flame, and it will be nothing. So Paul was saying here, for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might give an account for our life, according to what we have done in our life. And I want you to picture your life now, just standing before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you know, I wish that I was a soul winner. I wish that I went out of my way to share the gospel with somebody. Because you know what? That's the only thing that's going to matter that day. Everything that we worked for will go in flames. And everything that we will be, you know, will be leaving here. I'm not discouraging you. Whatever state you are in, whatever age that you are in, you can start sharing the message of the gospel. Pray for somebody. One person. Put it in a card. Think about that person, because when you pray for him, you will have a burden to talk about Christ to him. And the next time that you're going to see him, because, you know, from the heart, you know, the mouth will speak, it's, I will come, the words of grace and words of warning and words of a wonderful love from the gospel, and you present that gospel. When you pray for people and saved, certainly you want to get these people saved. There's 1 Corinthians 9 also talks about the rewards. But the other motivation that motivated the Apostle Paul, he said, do you want to know why I was motivated? I wanted to please God. I'm looking for my rewards, not regrets at the judgment seat of Christ. But also there is a conviction. I have a conviction in verse 11. Say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, you know, the first few words of that verse, knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing there is a death that has to be, you know, people that has to die and stand before the judgment seat or before God. You know, it was appointed once to man for man to die, and then after that, the judgment. You know, in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said there is a judgment. And there is a real place called hell. And you don't hear this kind of preaching nowadays from pulpits, you know. You have to be nice. You have to avoid this kind of things. You know, you don't talk about hell. But you know what? If there is no hell, why we assume there is a heaven? Because the same Bible that talk about hell is the same Bible that talks about heaven. And if hell is not real, why the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, many, many times, all this graphic, you know, scenes that the Lord Jesus Christ just opened the lid of hell, and he showed us the cries of that rich man is crying for a drop of water from that dirty Lazarus that he despised him. But now he's longing for just one drop of water in that flames, because I'm tormented in that flame. So the Bible talks straight about hell. And the Apostle Paul is saying, knowing the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, not just fearing God, but knowing that one day the soul, that the unsaved soul will go to a horrible, long, awfully long, in a place of darkness and flames and worms that never die, flames never quench. All this will be in a place, and the soul and the body will be tormented there. Knowing that fact, it just, you know, those people, they might die today, might die after, you know, 10 years or 20 years or whatever, and say, you know what, this person, he can go, you know, he would go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. That fact moved me. One time I was reading a book called One Thing You Cannot Do in Heaven for Mark Cahill. And he said, one thing you cannot do in heaven, what's that? Sin? So, no. Asking for salvation? No. That's not the ones. There's a lot of things you cannot do in heaven, but the one thing that the book was addressing is winning souls. There is no soul winning in hell, in heaven. So the one thing that you cannot do, but you can do it now, is winning soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. Because, you know, I was so scared that you said, like, I'm going to go and talk. What am I going to talk about? How I can share that? I mean, people, they have questions. And the people, they are so difficult. I don't like people. So people say, you know what? It's not our love to people that motivate us, as we see the other motivation of the Apostle Paul. But you know what? It's very simple. And once you get addicted to that, you know, talking to somebody, leaving a gospel track, sharing the gospel, is not just for missionaries or pastors or full-time workers. For every Christian that accepted the Lord, that's the one thing that we can invest our life in. Please, if you have a neighbor that, you know, doesn't know the Lord, be bold for one time for Christ and just see the results of God's grace in changing one person, a co-worker with you. Pray for him. And the next time that you're going to see him, share something about his spiritual life. Pray that the Lord will give you an opportunity to share the gospel. So the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what motivates me? Knowing the terror of the Lord. And when there is a hell, and whenever, you know, if hell is not real, so Calvary will be a mistake. Because why Christ went, you know, to Calvary to die for us? Did he go to die for us for an existing place called hell, or to save us from a hell that doesn't exist? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And people say, oh, everything is good and everything is heaven. Like in the Jewish beliefs, it's everybody's going to heaven, especially the Jewish people. There's no place called hell. And there's a lot of preachers nowadays and pastors and missionaries and people, they don't believe in a place called hell. And you know what? We watered that down. We explained it. You know, we don't preach that, you know, very strong from the Word of God, because it's very clear in the Word of God there's a place that people who reject the grace of God go to that horrible place. That's why it moves us, because we have the answer for those people, and we have the hope. And the hope is the gospel. And the gospel is not just waiting for the people to come, but the gospel has a go in it. It's a geo. It's not waiting for people to come, but I have to be in the offense and have to go because people are in darkness. And Satan, the god of this age, he darkened and blinded the minds of those people, and they need somebody to reach out and rescue them and send the light so they can come to the Savior. Another motivation, he said in verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. And when I saw this verse, I said, you know what? You know, let the stranger praise you, like in the book of Proverbs. Stranger praise you, not your own tongue, you know. And sometimes we say, you know, we do that, and the Apostle Paul was not showy. He didn't do that for the sake of, you know, being a look at me and see how many churches that I did and how many souls that I won, you know, I won to Christ, you know. But it's commendation, being an example to somebody. I'm not going to commend ourselves, but I will be clear that I will be an example before you. But also the other motivation is 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And that's one of the motivation that motivates me. As I said, it's not our love to people. We love people. Sometimes people are difficult to deal with. And it's, you know, heartaches and all these kind of things. So what? But the one motivation that really, that compassion to see a person that's, you know, in a flame, in a house, and not to run and just try to rescue this person, it's a crime. And that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, what motivates me is my love to my Lord. It's the love for Christ that constraineth me, that compelled me, that takes my heart to want to do something for the one who died for me. And that's another motivation from the Apostle Paul. He said, I love Christ. That's why I go to souls. Even if I don't like people, but I love Christ. And other thing that motivated him, that confidence. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That confidence that we have when we go and share the gospel with people, that God can put a new, brand new person without even unbuttoning, you know, the suit. He can put a new person, a new heart, a new creature in that man, a new spirit. And that's confident in the Apostle Paul. He said, you know what? It's not about me, but I go and share the gospel, go and share the word of God, and it has a power on it. And I can see somebody who's a brand new. Before my eyes, I saw these people coming from dark, dark places and confessing Christ as Lord by the Holy Spirit. See, there is no power in the world on the face of this earth can change this man or this woman except the power of the gospel, because the word of God is quick and living. Last thing, Corinthians 5:18, it says, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's the other motivation that motivated the Apostle Paul. He said, you know what? I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Or you know what? I was assigned as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Living in Washington, D.C. area, I get invitations to meet ambassadors. We see these ambassadors just bragging about their countries and all the products that comes and all the industries that they do and everything that's, you know, I'm the ambassador of this and that. And being in Massachusetts Avenue in Washington, D.C., you know, we see those ambassadors, you know, on different occasions. See why, you know, and I go to the market and say, you know, I'm ashamed to say even I'm a Christian. But you know what? We are ambassadors of the King of Kings. And when we present the gospel, we're presenting our kingdom and our Lord and our King. So I would just leave that. You know, why don't we go and share the gospel? There's many, many excuses, but I want to just for you to think 300 million years from now, what's the one thing that's going to matter 300 million years from now?
Thank you for listening today. I trust you received a blessing from God's word. If you would like to contact us here at Grace Baptist Church, feel free to call us at 410-943-3701. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 162, Hurlock, Maryland, 21643. You may also go online and visit us at our site, www.gracebaptistofhurlock.org. If you would like to come visit us, you can find us at 510 North Main Street here in Hurlock, Maryland. We meet four times each week at 10 and 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and at 7 on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I do hope you will come and worship the Lord with us. Again, thanks for listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound. Hope you will listen again next week as we look into the scriptures once again. Until then, this is Paul Hacker speaking for Pastor Tally and all of us here at Grace Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you and have a great week.
The program today has been brought to you by Grace Baptist Church of Hurlock, Maryland, and by Miss Mina's Bakery of Preston, Maryland. Miss Mina's Bakery is open from 5:30 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday of each week. Miss Mina's Bakery serving coffee, pastries, and a variety of breakfast foods, located on Main Street in Preston, Maryland.
I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Well, it's just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end.